Good morning, and welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show from WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers in Pike and Calhoun Counties, Illinois. Today we have Sergeant Mike Getten from the Illinois DNR. Thank you for being here, Mike.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody thinks about hunting. They think about, the good side, the harvest, the fellowship, the getting kids outdoors, the celebration, the fact that you might not see anything in terms of migration, but you had a good breakfast in the blind. But there's also, the other side to it in terms of, targeting poachers. I'd imagine it, since there's lots of different species, we're in an area that I consider a mecca with tons of resources. Does that come with a lot of poaching or is that something that's real common?
Yeah, and first and foremost, as I mentioned earlier, the overwhelming majority of hunters that we deal with are either 100% in compliance or, they might commit inadvertent violations. But, obviously we have self-initiated cases that we make, but, we rely a ton on the public. We cannot be everywhere all the time. And so we absolutely, lean on the public significantly. It's really important that people do have the ability to reach out to us and, can confidently report stuff to us so that we can properly, serve the community justice.
Yeah. What are the most common offenses that, someone might see or I live in a holler in Calhoun, so it's pretty quiet. if I hear a gunshot,
that's where it all goes down. Is over in Calhoun County.
But if I hear a gunshot, I typically know where that gunshot came from. Mm. Just hearing it. So I'd imagine there's a lot of people in the listening area that experience the same kind of thing. So when is it appropriate to reach out and what's the best way to reach out if we do suspect somebody of poaching?
Yeah. So first and foremost, no information is bad information, and I think a lot of times people don't understand that. We had a case a couple of years ago where we had all the evidence in the world, but we had nothing. We had no idea who was doing it. And then all of a sudden we just got one phone call one day and the guy's like, man, I don't know, this guy's acting funny. And it was just, that was it. That was the break we needed in the case. And we turned it into a huge wildlife case. So no information is bad information. If somebody contacts me and says, hey, I think this is going on, we're going to look into it, or we are going to, keep it on the radar at a minimum, but we're also going to communicate exactly what we believe could be going on and then monitor it. But there's no information that's bad information. In terms of getting a hold of us, all of our phone numbers are listed on the DNR website. I've given you that link to share, but they can look up the local county. But I would also encourage people, if they look up, for example, says Jersey County's vacant, that's because I'm the only officer in Jersey County now. I'm working on that. I'm working really hard on getting that filled.
Anybody out there looking to be a DNR officer?
Yeah, no, I got plenty of people lined up for that spot, but got to get it open. But look at the adjacent counties. We don't patrol a county. We don't patrol a town. We patrol a district and even beyond. So, if you look at Jersey County, don't scratch and be like, well, there's not an officer there. Number one, you can always call me. Even though my number's not listed there, I'll be happy to give it to you. But, Madison County, even Calhoun County, Jordan Roundcount's over in Calhoun. I think the absolute world of him. He's going to come to Jersey County and handle it. There's always somebody that's going to handle it. So don't be afraid to reach out to us, let us know. And, the biggest thing is there's this strange fear that your name's going to be broadcast all across the investigation. We will absolutely lose a case before we ever present to somebody where that information came from. We're not going to compromise anybody, who isn't willing to be cooperating with us. We would never do that.
Right. And then from my own personal experience operating an outfitter, it's my livelihood. So I've got to make sure I do everything right, mm-hmm, by the book. there's never been a time where I felt uncomfortable reaching out to Sergeant Getten, Jordan, Round Count, to just ask, hey, I'm thinking about setting up like this, or I'm looking at, you know, this situation. And, you know, it's always been in a manner that I felt comfortable in doing so. I didn't feel like I was going to, you know, get myself in trouble by asking a question and trying to gain a better understanding. And I think that, you know, might not be the same thing as talking about targeting poachers, but it's also something that, you know, having that comfort level to reach out to yourself or one of the other conservation officers, mm-hmm. and just understanding that you guys are humans just like us that love the outdoors, yep. and really want to help. And so in my own experience, I can speak to that you guys are really good at taking care of myself as an individual or even you know, our customers at Monarch Rivers. So in a hunting community, you know, we have a right and a privilege to be able to hunt. And I think it's important to always look at the aspect of preserving that. What kind of education or activities would you recommend, you know, members of the community participate in to help preserve what we have going outdoors?
Yeah, I think activities is the main word that comes to mind there. And I think when it comes to activities, I think we need to be very mindful, just as I do as a law enforcement officer, just as you do as an outfitter. If somebody has a negative encounter with an outfitter, a lot of times that'll be blanketed amongst all other outfitters, right?
Right.
Same with law enforcement. If somebody has a negative encounter with a conservation officer and it was in Jersey County, well, it must have been me, right? You know, and so it's really important to represent, you know, my profession in a very positive manner. Same with you. And I think as hunters in general, we have to be very mindful of that. And you see it a lot when there's a press release for, you know, a big poaching investigation. You'll see comments and it'll say, That gives the hunters a bad name, and it does. So I think the biggest thing is that we represent one another as hunters and as outdoorsmen. So you know it's very important to be mindful of that. Don't only be legal, but also be mindful of how it's perceived when you do something. And as we were talking earlier about laws, hunting near an inhabited dwelling is a very common violation. And by law, you can waterfowl hunt as long as you are at a minimum of 100 yards away from an inhabited dwelling. And 100 yards is not very far. So if you're 101 yards away from that house and you're harvesting waterfowl, legally, you're not breaking the law. But the important thing is, how is that being perceived? So there's ways that we can counter that, you know, communication, right? Go talk to the people that live in that house, you know, just out of respect at a minimum. So, you know, just be mindful of what you're of whether it's legally hunting or illegally hunting. You have to be a positive representation for the rest of us, because that's how laws get changed. That's how, you know, people that are against, you know, the out hunting in general, it gives them ammo. So we all have to stick together and make sure that we're a positive representation of one another.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember how it was way, 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 way back. Well, not too far way back, but was it 15, 16? We had December flooding right around in that area. Mm-hmm. And it was late goose season. You know, we got permission to just go out and do a little grind out there, set up some decoys. And, you know, in Calhoun, let me back up. In Calhoun, we don't have protected levees. We don't have levees protecting the ag fields. So when the flood comes up, the ag field meets the water. It's pretty awesome for an ambush for waterfowl. Me and a couple buddies are out hunting, and the neighbor, it wasn't their property, had nothing to do with them. They came out and they said, you know, we're just don't want you to hunt out here. He said, all right, have a nice day. I mean, he literally came out and he was nice enough to just say, hey, I think he was probably jealous, but you know what? It doesn't matter. The perception, just like you're saying, you don't want to be perceived as somebody in the community that is, you know, stepping on anybody's toes. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be in a situation where you're giving hunters a bad name.
Yeah.
And I mean, for me, to take it to another level as an outfitter, a few years ago, I have a relationship, just friendly relationship with one of the neighbors to one of the farms that we hunt. And I'm out there, it's late morning, there's a gobbler hammering. He is just going crazy. And it's a little bit more than a mid-afternoon gobble. So I got on a little text message and I sent him, I go, you and your blind? He replies back, yep. I said, you on that gobbler? He says, yep. I said, have a nice day. And I snuck, I mean, I'm in the middle of the farm that we hunt, you know.
Yep.
We pay money to lease that. It was an opportunity for me to slide out. But to me, and this is on a professional outfitter level, mm-hmm. it's more important for me to have a friendly relationship with the neighbor than to go in. He's been working that bird. I could have gotten that bird. Possibly. I have a little bit of a turkey curse, but I think confidently I could have gotten that bird. And, you know, it's just that much more important that everybody gets to, you know, get their share. Everybody gets to have their hunt that they enjoy. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, he didn't kill it that day. He killed it the next day. But, you know, it's just things like that. I think as hunters, you know, we have to realize that we're all on the same team because I'm going to have to say a modified version of this for the radio, but there are two types of people. A friend of mine told me this one time, there's people that hunt and there's people that don't. And we have to realize we're all on the same team.
Yep.
Might even be something that we're not necessarily interested in. We can't, you know, try and, you know, take that down because we're not into it.
Yeah.
For example, you know, trot lines. Right? If you're a big rod and reel guy with catfish, you're gonna talk smack all day long about people running trot lines. But at the end of the day, it's the same team.
Yeah.
And it's the same privilege, and you know, we gotta really work to preserve it.
Yeah, and I think that goes hand in hand too when we talked about reporting violations. You know, we had a case last year. We seized 4 bucks off of a couple guys. And the first thing I thought when the case was resolved was that's 4 deer that a youth hunter could have had the opportunity to harvest. You know, and so, yeah, I mean, it's the same mindset. You know, we have to, if you see something, you might want to bring it up, you know, because it could deprive, you know, someone else of a lawful opportunity.
Yeah. Especially with all the, it's almost becoming too much, but with regard to the management aspect of how we manage deer, you know, I think from a biological perspective of, you know, allowing deer to grow up and reach a potential, but then again, coming down, it's like having these opportunities at large deer is important. There are going to be opportunities at large deer in these nearby counties. This is just a resourcefully abundant area. But, you know, somebody taking deer in a greedy fashion or an illegal fashion, what's that mean for somebody's personal management program on their farm? When it happens, it might happen half mile away. Those deer are still likely going to be on your farm at least one phase of the rut.
Yeah. And I gave I had to give a presentation for a class I was taking before I could teach at the academy. And I gave a presentation on harvesting trophy deer. And my first outline was, first of all, you have to define what a trophy is. And so I really, you know, my presentation was really centered around, well, what is a trophy? Is it a first deer? Is it a 100th deer? And you don't care about whether or not it's a buck or a doe. So it's really important to identify what is a trophy, you know? And so, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, it's if it's lawfully taken and you know, the person's extremely happy with it. And I can't stand it when people shoot a deer and they say, well, and they give an excuse as to why they shot the deer. I'm like, why would you do that? You know, that's you should be proud of your harvest, you know. And I shot a deer last year that I wish I could take back, but I shot it and I was proud of it, you know.
Tell me more about that.
Oh, no, I can't.
Yeah. Well, so actually, stay tuned, listeners. We're going to take a break. And you're going to hear a word from our sponsors.
Jonathan Prane with Tarrant & Harmon Real Estate and Auction Company is a full-time land broker who can help you maximize your hard-earned dollars. Call Jonathan for a free assessment and to assist you in selling or finding your income-producing farm, dream hunting spot, rural home, or investment property. Jonathan Prane with Tarrant & Harmon Real Estate and Auction Company. Call 618-225-0568. 618-225-0568.
Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois. The voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers in Pike and Calhoun Counties. With me, I have Sergeant Mike Getten. And Sarge, we were just talking about a deer you took last year. You said, you know, it wasn't necessarily the one that you were going for. These mistakes happen all the time. I'm an outfitter. I have guys that I set on a specific deer and everything's right. And then something might happen and might shoot the wrong deer. Or sometimes, and what I found this past couple of years is I always thought it was hardest to age a buck between the ages of 2 and 3. But what I'm finding is it's harder to age them between 3 and 4. I'm trying to educate. So I don't want to, you know, put you in a bad position or anything. But, you know, did you have a lapse in judgment? Like, this happens to everybody.
Well, first of all, everybody has their own. Again, it's very important to establish what exactly are you doing out there. But I guess on a personal level, I really like to pursue deer that are age five plus.
Yeah.
So for me, 100% personally, I would have not have shot this deer if I would have not been frustrated from the night before where I missed my target buck. If that narrows it down, we'll just call it a day.
I knew it was something.
I'll
that's
make it
awesome.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah. You know, there are so many different personalities. Kind of one of my little cheat codes in life is I market in Alaska. I go up to a safari club show in Alaska. They don't have whitetails up there. You know, they have lots of resources, so the disposable income is there. But I get to go to Alaska every year. Mm-hmm. And so I take a few days and I go enjoy that. Let me tell you something about Alaskans. They are more sustenance hunters. So when they come here and I'm educating and we're talking about whitetail age, goals, aspects like that, so many times I'm talking them off the ledge of we're trying to shoot 5.5-year-old older deer. You know, again, they're coming to an outfitter where we're hunting that definition of trophy. We're trying to grow them to age 5. I don't really care about the antler size because anybody that knows whitetail knows you can have a 5.5-year-old 130-inch deer. So we're trying to look at the chest. We're trying to look at, you know, the sway in the back. We're trying to get a gauge for how much meat is in that rear, how much meat is in that rump, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, different aspects of do you have that loose skin on the brisket? Does the neck come down? It gets towards the end of the hunt. Some of these Alaskans are like texting me like, I got it. And you're like, no. Or they're like, send you the text, big buck down. And you're like saying, you know, prayers like, please be the buck that I wanted him to shoot. So, you know, there's so many aspects to the idea of conservation. But at the end of the day, full circle, this is a right, a privilege.
That's
no
right.
No one should really... tell anyone what they need to kill, because we got to be building each other up. We got to, especially youth, you know, if you're out there and you're introducing a youth to hunting, particularly whitetail hunting, we attract a lot more bees with honey, I think is what they say. And, you know, we got to make it a positive, you know, this was a great hunt, a great harvest. Let's talk about, you know, our blessings, mm-hmm. and really make sure that we highlight the finer points as to try and promote the sport and keep the kids involved, keep the people coming.
Absolutely.
With regard to contact the DNR, you know, you have various officers in various counties that report to you. You mind going over the officers that are currently in each county and how they report, you know, that report to you?
Yeah, so I've got two in Macoupin County, two in Montgomery, one in Bond, and three in Madison. I'm losing one to retirement next week, so I'll be one short there. So obviously we're going to try to backfill that position as soon as we can. Yeah, at any given time, every once in a while I'll have somebody tell me, like, I've made several phone calls to the DNR and I haven't got a call back, and it really surprises me because we're usually pretty receptive. And then I'll usually ask them, well, you know, who did you call? And they're trying to call somebody in Springfield. I'm like, no, you need to go direct with us, you know. We're the Illinois State Police. That's who we dispatch out of. So, you know, if you try to call me, and actually if you listen to my voicemail, it says, you know, if it is an immediate complaint, contact the Illinois State Police. Here's the number. Because I want them to immediately contact State Police. State Police is going to look who's working and where and immediately relay that message out. So it would be very unusual, in my opinion, for somebody not to be able to reach us if they want to. If somebody doesn't feel comfortable talking to me and they would feel better talking to, you know, somebody in Montgomery County, call them. That's totally fine. If you don't feel comfortable talking to an officer direct for whatever reason that may be, you can report offenses through the Target Illinois Poachers website. It's 100% anonymous complaint. You can provide us information through that. We monitor that every day. And when somebody does submit a complaint through that, it immediately gets disseminated to the district officers by email. So we all get it as soon as it's sent through.
Okay. And then what we're going to do is post some links onto the Facebook page for this particular radio spot, and those will be IDNR links that can be referenced with regard to the conversation that you've heard here today. Are there any particular websites that you would highlight for the listeners while they're listening right now that might be good for them to know about in terms of all things DNR, you know, all things that we've talked about today?
Yeah, one of the links I sent you was to the Department of Natural Resources, and there's a couple different things. I'm sorry, the Illinois Conservation Police page, and I think a couple really important things that come on there is, number one, it has contact your local conservation police officer. That's on there too, but it also talks about job postings. We're hiring 15 officers next year. It also talks about a ride-along program and an internship program. So it's a really good source to be able to look on there and establish, you know, whether you're looking for a career or whether you're looking to report a violation or you're just generally interested. It's a good website to go to and get that information.
Okay. And then, you know, one thing that you had shared with me, prior to coming on today is that, you were not real thrilled that with the promotion, you came off the contact list.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully y'all today have gotten to know Sergeant Getten a little bit better and understand, you know, that he's a good guy and he's out for everybody's best interest. You want to share your phone number with the listeners so they can reach out to you if need be?
Absolutely. And, yeah, I'm more than happy with giving you my card. You can post it on your I assume social media.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, my number is 618-578-4374. I get, you know, calls and texts all the time. I have my phone on me 100% of the time. If I don't answer, it's because I'm tied up. But, You know, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you, you know, see a spotlight out the window and you hear a gunshot, don't wait till the next day to call and report that. Number one, there's a very good chance one of me or somebody else is working. Number two, if we're not, there's a very good chance, you know, our officers are very passionate about serving and protecting the public. There's a very good chance they're going to throw a uniform on and go out. So if you see something like that, don't hesitate. Don't tell us a month later or 2 months later that, yeah, this happened and I was frustrated. Call us. You know, we're always going to make ourselves available, at least to the best of our ability.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I think it's important. And a few listeners out there, hopefully it was informative. Hopefully it was fun. Maybe pick something up that you didn't know from before you tuned in today. So thanks again. Look forward to next time.
Thank you.
Hunting and fishing, loving every day. I want to see them tall pines sway. Y'all close them eyes. Let's go there in our mind. Hunting and fishing and loving every day. That's the prayer this country boy.